Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, all we who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized in his death. For we are buried together with him by baptism unto death, that as Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of his Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, to the end that we may serve sin no longer. For he that is dead is justified from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live together with Christ, knowing that Christ, rising again from the dead, dieth now no more, death shall no more have dominion over him. For in that he died to sin, he died once, but in that he liveth unto God. So do you also reckon that you are dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for today's Holy Gospel, which is taken from the beginning of the eighth chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. At that time, when there was a great multitude with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have had nothing to eat. And if I shall send them away fasting to their home, they will faint in the way. For some of them came from afar off. And his disciples answered him, From whence can anyone fill them here with bread in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? Who said, 7. And he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, giving thanks, he broke and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the people. And they had a few small little fishes, and he blessed them, and commanded them to be set before them. And they did eat, and were filled, and they took up that which was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Thus are the words of today's most holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, St. Paul tells us in today's epistle that we must be dead to sin if we desire to live and to share our life with Christ, to share in Christ's eternal glory. St. Paul makes a fitting comparison then between Christ's death, which of course is whereby our salvation was accomplished, and our own baptism, whereby we became members of Christ's mystical body by renouncing a life of sin. Our baptism is so important because it makes us one with Christ. It unites us with Christ, who of course is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This renovation which takes place in our soul is only through this union with Christ. It is only through being in the state of grace, living with Almighty God, having this divine life of God in our soul, that we are going to have our soul changed. At baptism, we not only receive divine grace, which is a share in the very divine life of God, but we also became citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, we receive the titles of sons of God and co-heirs with Christ. Before our baptism, we had original sin in our soul. We were not a member of Christ's mystical body. If we had died in that state, we, of course, would have been excluded from the kingdom of heaven. This sharing, then, in the divine life of God is incompatible with a life of sin. And thus we must work our entire life, as St. Paul says, to crucify this old man of sin. We must crucify the sin which is in us to put all these bad habits out, to overcome our bad habits, and to live a life of Christ. Along with sanctifying grace, then, we also receive at baptism the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. In the early church, it was, of course, the practice to only baptize adults. So no one was baptized as we do now as a child. Everyone was only baptized as an adult when they were old enough to choose to be baptized. And that was only then, of course, after a very long preparation. Being a catechumen for a long, long period of time, preparing, studying, doing penance, preparing themselves to be received into the church. Indeed, then, these souls approached the baptismal font with a great zeal and with a great desire to leave behind them their old lives of sin, which they had led up until that time. Today, then, of course, we are baptized as babies when we're born. And so we must, throughout our life, then, very often renew our baptismal promises, renouncing Satan, renouncing all of his works, renouncing all of the things of this world, in order that we might live our life united with Christ. We are also, of course, soldiers of Christ, which come, of course, with the sacrament of confirmation. We also are called, then, to walk in this new life as we are pilgrims. Indeed, this life is a pilgrimage. We are making our way to our heavenly home. Heaven is our true home. This world is only temporary. It's passing. When we die, we're going to then, we pray and hope that we are going to be called into our heavenly home, going to that eternal salvation with our blessed Lord in heaven. Truly then, the only thing that can stand in our way is, of course, attachment to the things of this world, and our sins. These are the two things which will keep us out of heaven. So attachment to the things of this world and all of our sins, living a life of sin instead of living a life of God. Let us recall then the words of St. Paul from 2 weeks ago in the epistle when he told us, he says, that all the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared to the things to come. They are nothing compared to the glory that we will have in heaven. God has this reward prepared for those who serve Him, and so if we have to suffer here, this suffering is nothing in comparison to glory that we're going to receive in the next life. On the contrary, we can compare then the hardened and unrepentant sinner. He has, of course, in this life, passing and momentary pleasure. It's only for a short time in all of his sins, but he will have an eternity of punishment in hell at the end of his life. He dies in the state of mortal sin. He will have the terrible and horrible and horrendous sufferings which will be his in hell. And this is what then St. Augustine calls the mystery of iniquity. How we, seeing what we have to lose, which is heaven, of course, we choose rather these momentary pleasures in this life, and we sin at the expense of losing our eternal salvation. This mystery of iniquity. As I mentioned earlier, we receive then these three theological virtues along with sanctifying grace. But of course, the most important of these is charity, which is the bond of perfection, as St. Paul once again says in his epistles. Charity makes us grateful to Almighty God for all that He has given us, while sin, of course, on the other hand, makes us ungrateful. We're selfish. We only think of ourselves with our sins. We forget about Almighty God. We forget about our responsibilities to Him. Charity draws us closer to Almighty God, while sin, of course, drives us farther away from Him, drives this wedge between Almighty God and our soul. We cannot, as our Lord said in the Gospels, we cannot serve both God and mammon. We have to make that choice. Are we going to serve God, or are we going to serve our pleasures and the things of this world and our sins? My dear friends, let us then beg our blessed Lord during this Mass for the strength that we need to truly die to sin, to die to ourselves, to crucify, as St. Paul says, our old man, and so that we can live up to our baptismal promises, that we can serve our blessed Lord, we can rise with our blessed Lord, rise with our Lord Jesus Christ to that eternal glory which He attained through His sacrifice on Calvary. Let us also then beg our Blessed Mother to assist us, to teach us how to serve our Lord, how to serve Him well, how to overcome ourselves, how to practice this death to our sins, as St. Paul asks us in today's epistle. And if we do these things, my dear friends, our Lord will reward us. He rewards us for all of our efforts. He desires our eternal salvation. He will give us all the graces we need. He will assist us, and He will draw us to our eternal reward, which is in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.